Radio City Talk. The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Very good morning. This is The Kickoff. I'm Steve Hothersall. Right, some of your back pages today. Well, the one from the Daily Mirror certainly stands out. Goodison Park. Everton wants Stoke boss to take the place of Roberto Martinez. Mark Hughes is the number one target there to maybe step into the Blues hot seat come the summer. Right, we organised this interview with the man who wrote that piece before we'd seen this was coming up on the horizon. He's out in sunny Spain for Villarreal against Liverpool. It's John Cross. Morning to you, John.
Very good morning to you.
Let's start with the piece you've written this morning. So, Mark Hughes, the number one target, and I quickly put that out on the social media before just to see what people thought about this. And it was a fairly negative reaction from Evertonians. I'll read you some of them. Everton away say, please no. Mike Gibbons says, if this is the case, I won't be renewing my season ticket. Blue is the colour says, stop now, just stop this. No, no and no again, says Martin. Yellow Merrow says, it's about right, all things considered. And one more says, what have we got here? No, we need to be more ambitious. Was that the sort of response you'd expect from this one, John?
No, that surprised me, actually, because I just think Hughes has done a wonderful job at Stoke, and I also think he's been able to attract some really good names as well. I think he's reinvented the club. I think he's got them playing a different way, and I think he's done ever so well. And I think, obviously, that's why he's on sort of Everton's radar at this moment in time. That surprises me. I mean, I always think you kind of... The number one challenge you've got, I think, is to sell it to the fans, and the fans have got to be on side with it. Otherwise, you start from a real negative in the first place. And so, kind of, yeah, not the best thing to get off on. That really surprised me, because my perception is that Hughes has done a wonderful job.
And, of course, the disquiet that surrounds Roberto Martinez at the moment, much of that extends from the fans, because Bill Kenwright has been very much his number one fan, but it's the supporters who've lost the faith.
Yeah, I just feel sometimes when you've got a manager like Martinez, I think it's so difficult to get the fans back. And I think when you lose them, and there's clearly a very loud sort of group of supporters calling for change now, I think it's very difficult to win them back, really. And I think that playing within that sort of atmosphere can be very inhibiting, difficult for the players. And I always think when you reach that point, That's when you really are going to be going to make the change. And I do think Everton will make that change come the end of the season. And I just feel that at the moment you can tell, you know, it's down for the semi-final at Wembley. You could tell that at this point that Martinez is talking of a game, pleading almost for his job and saying that he's done well in the 3 years. But I just don't think the Everton fans see it like that. And I do think they'll make that change this summer.
Mark Hughes, to me, would seem to be a credible candidate for the role. Who are the others do you think will be in the frame? Is a Ronald Koeman? I mean, I think there's a lot more to come from a Ronald Koeman in his career. Would that be something of a coup if they could entice someone like him?
Yeah, I think that he would be, you know, an interesting one. I just feel that if you're going to attract kind of big names, you have to have that big manager. For me, sort of Mark Hughes would definitely come into that. But I just think that Everton fans would sort of kind of be thinking, maybe, you know, can we go even bigger? I mean, you know, they've even been linked with Jose Mourinho, haven't they? And I just think that I think with new money, with a new shareholder, they're going to be ambitious. I think their biggest task, Everton, really is holding on to the likes of Stones this summer and Lukaku, and I think that's going to be a difficult instance, and maybe a big name appointment can change that. The other interesting one that keeps on cropping up, obviously, is Eddie Howe. I wonder whether that's kind of, again, going to be seen as someone who's bright, young, ambitious, but has he got that managerial reputation that maybe a Koeman has already? I think that's probably up for debate, isn't it?
Absolutely. That one might run for a little bit. Let's turn to the Reds. How's life, John, in the province of Castellón this morning?
Not too bad. It's nice, actually. Yeah, it's a little bit grey and overcast, but I suspect the temperature here, I think it's expected to get up to 20-22 later. It's probably a little bit better than back home. So it's not too bad, actually. Villarreal's a funny little place. It's very industrial. The ground's quite small, compact. I've been here before, and they kind of whip up an atmosphere. They're going to hand out sort of big yellow scarves and sort of play sort of yellow submarine before kickoff. So it'll be sort of quite a nice atmosphere. And again, I think they're trying to be very respectful, obviously, before the game, and kind of mark that occasion. And I feel that kind of it'll be a good atmosphere, and I think it'll be a real test. And I think the 2,000 odd Liverpool fans out for the game can add to that atmosphere and reception.
Yeah, fourth in the Liga at the moment, but they're nothing like the size of your Atleticos and your Barca's and your Reals, are you?
Not at all. And I think that Jürgen Klopp was making the point yesterday. He's making the point that basically they are very much seen, I think, as almost the underdogs, the unlikely team, if you like, not as big as Dortmund. But basically, they're very, very dangerous. I think they're patient. They're well organised. They defend well. They're hard to score against, hard to beat. They've got some really good, impressive results this season in La Liga. And I think of all the four, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is right, of all the four teams left in the semi-finals now, they are the highest in their domestic league. And yet we're almost going to this perception of this semi-final that basically Liverpool are facing the weakest of the four teams. And it'll be interesting to see whether sort of kind of Liverpool can overcome that mood. You can guarantee with Klopp's teams, I think the way he sets out and the way he prepares the players, they'll be ready for every scenario, I think.
And you were at the press conference last night, and I think Jürgen so often nails the exact point pre-match, and the headlines today are very much about that Dortmund game not meaning anything if they don't get things right over these two games. And that, I think that's the worry and the danger, because you remember the build-up to Dortmund, and it felt like it was almost building up to a final, but the build-up to this game, I think, has been rather subdued.
Yeah, it has been. And I think you've had so much, I think, talk about that amazing quarter-final. It was certainly one of the best occasions that I've covered. I mean, it was just astonishing. And you know, the atmosphere around it was fabulous. The European night, the atmosphere at Anfield, and everything surrounding that was incredible, really. But I just feel that the sort of kind of, you do almost feel that momentum might carry you further. But I think the worry is that you think you get to the semi-final and you think, oh, well, at least we look back on Dortmund. And Jürgen Klopp was making the point yesterday, that experience will count for absolutely nothing unless they push it on. And really sort of kind of seize this opportunity. He admitted that when he took over last October, he couldn't have envisaged being so close to the European final now. But they've got to seize their moment, really, and use that experience as a real positive, rather than kind of just sort of dine out on the back of it and think that was a good season because we beat Dortmund.
I think the shame for him at this stage is missing some key players, or players who have become more and more important to him. So your Chans, your Mamadou Sakho's, your Divock Origi especially. Did he make any reference to these guys?
Well, I mean, obviously he was talking about Sakho, and he accepted what will be. The other interesting thing was that I think obviously Origi's a massive player. We've all seen what Christian Benteke has said about Liverpool and maybe some regret. But now I think Jürgen Klopp was making it very clear that Benteke is with him to be part of the group. He said that no one is out here to be a tourist, he said. And he said, you know, Benteke is sharp, looks good in training. And I think he was hoping really that he could seize his opportunity. I wonder whether that, though, perhaps from the bench and make a difference from there. It'll be interesting to see the way he sort of lines up. I just have this feeling that maybe he will be sort of kind of you know, tight, difficult to beat, may even play Firmino and sort of kind of and start from there, make sure that Liverpool don't concede, and rather like with Dortmund away, I think then that gives them a real opportunity to kind of take something back to Anfield. I do think you're right. I think the biggest issue for me is, as much as he's improved Origi and really given him confidence, I think the way that Emre Can has stepped up and really stepped up another level under Klopp, I think they'll massively miss him, and that's a huge, huge blow, I think, to be without him. So it'd be interesting to see how he can kind of fill that midfield gap. I mean, we've seen Joe Ellen so many times this season be a bit of an unlikely hero. So I do think sometimes when you least expect it, other players step forward, and you never know, that just might be Benteke. I wonder whether that might even move from the bench.
Yeah, I think on that Chan point, he shows. I think he's showing more and more leadership. He's almost showing a little bit of that sign of people looking at him and seeing how he's playing and rising to occasion. So I think that is slightly problematic for Liverpool. What about the view from Villarreal, though? And what are they saying about their own chances and the test that they face against Liverpool? How's the Spanish press reporting this, John?
I think, talking to one of the Spanish journalists yesterday, that they were thinking that basically do have a good chance on this one. I mean, it's had an interesting history, this club, and kind of obviously, you know, it's got the history of sort of kind of knocking it out Everton, isn't it? And kind of down the years, it went close to sort of, in 2006, and lost to Arsenal, sort of having missed a very late penalty in the Champions League semi-final. Pellegrini's got history here, did well. They're always seen as the underdogs. I think they're happy with where they are, really, in terms of being real quiet underdogs. And I think they're quietly confident and happy for Liverpool perhaps to be the bigger name, almost, if you like. I mean, it's a hell of a team, isn't it? Sort of kind of that is in the shadow of one of the great clubs like Valencia, for example, which is only 50 minutes down the road. I just feel that Soldado's here, and you might just see players who haven't quite made it at the bigger clubs, but what they do very well, Villarreal, is kind of embrace them and put them into the sort of the group, and then they're sort of capable within a group of causing surprises. They pulled off some memorable results this season, so they've beaten some of the big guns to be fourth in La Liga. So I think they quietly fancy their chances, and it suits them very nicely, thank you very much, I think, to be perceived as underdogs. And I think that Villarreal, quietly confident, I think, in the background.
Sets it up very nicely indeed. Just before you go, I don't know whether you caught any of the Atletico game last night, but the atmosphere and the incredible mosaic around that ground was just unbelievable. I was watching that and thinking, I just wonder whether Villarreal might in any way replicate any of that. It seemed like a superb night at Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, I watched the second half, having made that. I mean, the captain showing that goal, I mean, blimey, that the goal is absolutely sensational, yeah. Isn't it? What an atmosphere that whips up. Similarly, I think they are, as I say, I've been here and seen games here before, and they do create a nice atmosphere. It is a tight, small ground, very small ground, and basically, I think what they're intending to do is, as I say, play Yellow Submarine before kickoff. Put out your loads of yellow placards, so you will see an absolute wall of yellow, and very much make it sort of kind of a play on this Yellow Submarine. So I think it'll be, I think it'll be a good atmosphere. I love sort of Spanish, you know, games when you see them and this atmosphere that they create. And I think everyone sort of buys into it when Liverpool come to town and kind of try and create on the atmosphere that the Liverpool fans bring with them, because they're so noisy, vocal, and supportive. I think they kind of almost seize their opportunity. So I think it'll be a great atmosphere tonight.
A lot of yellow about. And tiles as well. We were speaking with Rob Palmer the other day. Tiling capital of Europe, he said, Villarreal. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did actually. Someone told me that. First thing they said actually. So yeah, if you tile your bathroom any time soon, you can probably bet your bottom dollar that the tiles will come from around here.
Top man. Thank you very much indeed for your time, John.
Pleasure. Any time. Thanks a lot.
That's John Cross, the chief sports writer for the Daily Mirror. He's in Villarreal.